Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him, that strapping, good-looking guy, former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Frank Lovridge. Thanks for being back on the show, Frank. We appreciate it. Guys, we've got the topics for today. Let me tell you, we got some great stories. Also, a shout-out to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. We also have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, during the live show, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Go to the online store and, hey, check out the gear. Bare bones cost. We don't make a dime off of anything we sell in the store. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So again, LeoRoundtable.com, check out the online store, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. You know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando, of all places, Orlando, Florida. And hey, hook up with him next time you go to the Disney, or just make a special trip down there, do the bass fishing charter, or he offers alligator hunting. Yes, the wild Florida alligator. See Frank smiling. And you can catch and relocate. We don't kill the baby alligator. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a baby. It could be an 8-footer. You never know what the call is going to be. But you get to catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. So it's your choice. Bass fishing, alligator hunting, FisherOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, or former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? Guys, we normally have just maybe if we're lucky, one main story, which has a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We have three today. Supreme Court sides with Montana police on warrant requirements during emergencies. So we're talking about exigent circumstances. Pay attention, guys, especially if you're sworn Leos. Also, we're going to be touching on Minnesota, what's going on there. Riders break into ICE vehicle locker. They steal everything, including a rifle. Are you kidding me? How does that happen? We're going to tell you. And then breaking news, Secret Service agent from the Biden era hates Trump policies, leaks sensitive information about Vice President J.D. Vance to a OMG undercover reporter, and that's the O'Keefe Media Group undercover reporter. Yeah, James O'Keefe is at it again. And then we got a Maryland bill, and this is how much they love the feds. Maryland bill would bar ICE agents hired under Trump from state police. They can never come work in that state in law enforcement. And then we've got a suspect killed after striking an officer with a vehicle. A lot of that going on lately. This one, the video on this is like superb. And I don't necessarily mean you get to watch someone, you know, die with extremely high quality video. I'm talking about as a learning point. It's really good quality video if you're going to take anything away from this and learn from it. We have body cam, another body cam showing a suspect being injured in a shootout during a foot chase. We got Idaho Falls police officer fatally shot a domestic disturbance suspect when he grabs a large knife. We've got Christopher Taylor is reinstated as a peace officer and gets his license back. And then finally, NYPD officers, they fatally shoot an armed man with a box cutter during a DV call, a domestic violence call. So, Frank, if you're ready for this, let's go ahead and get the party started. You know, the very first story, it's a little deep, but AP Newswire, I'm not a huge fan of the Associated Press, but they can't really slant this one much, I guess. Supreme Court sides with Montana police on warrant requirements during emergencies. So the Supreme Court sided with Montana police on Wednesday in a case over whether officers can enter a home without a warrant if an emergency might be unfolding inside. It's not so much the exigent circumstances, which we all know, you know, being involved in law enforcement, having written search warrants and stuff, there are certain situations if you're worried about destruction of evidence or other things, you don't have to sit there and wait and let the guy have the time to do that. You can go in and secure the scene. But it's interesting what happened in this particular one. And I love the clarification on it, to be honest with you. It's just one less thing for us to worry about. The unanimous high court, they found officers acted lawfully when they went into a home of William Case, who was shot and wounded after officers entered his home back in 2021. So it was taken the case like this long, you know, to get before the Supreme Court. Police were responding to a call from this guy's girlfriend. She thought that he might kill himself. They entered his home. They knocked on the door first, no response. And then they ended up firing after he threw open a closet curtain. He was had an object in his hand that looked like a gun. And after this goes down, a handgun was later found nearby in a laundry basket. Now, our bad guy because he was noncompliant, he was charged with assaulting an officer, but he argued, and here's the argument that took it to the Supreme Court. He argued that the evidence against him should be tossed out because officers did not have a warrant to enter his home. Now, the Montana Supreme Court, they disagreed. They found that the officers needed only to reasonably suspect someone required emergency help. And this guy appeals this to the justices, and he asks them to require a higher standard of probable cause, similar to criminal investigations. Now, the justices rejected the argument. They found that the standard set by the state's highest court, that it was still too low, but that Montana officers' actions, they were nevertheless, quote, objectively reasonable, unquote, which is which is what you want to hear, under the standard that was set previously in a Supreme Court case. Now, the opinion was written by Justice Alina Kagan, noted that entering during an emergency does not allow police to search beyond what's needed to help and keep officers safe. And what that means is, and I'm not just trying to steal, you know, your thunder here, Frank, but for people listening to the show that just don't know, just because you don't have to wait for the search warrant, you can go in, you don't get the search. So if someone's going to be flushing dope down the commode or whatever, you go in, you stop them from doing that. You don't seize the drugs. You don't do anything. You seize everything, and then you go get the warrant based off the information that you have. Mm-hmm. Same thing with someone trying to kill themselves. You're going in, wear that hat. You're protecting life, preventing them from doing that. Maybe if you see something in there that gives you the right to go in and get a warrant and the seize it, you can do that. But that's about it. If it's a plain view doctrine and stuff. So, but Frank, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, Chip, I think first of all, I have to say that I'm glad that the Supreme Court decided the way they did. I think it sends the right message to the police forces out there and law enforcement. And you got to realize that, you know, we know there are exceptions to the search warrant. We know the consent search, plain view doctrine. You just talked about that, Chip. Exigent circumstances is one of them, as well as a Terry search to pat somebody down, abandonment, all these things that you're allowed to do to be able to protect our people, keep them safe. But when you go into a house with exigent circumstances, and you have to make a split decision within seconds when someone pulls back a curtain and has an item in their hand, and you have the information that he may be trying to kill himself. So you're thinking already this individual is armed, right? And then the next thing you know, you do what you have to do to neutralize the threat. I mean, I think everything was done here according to the way they were trained and the way it should be done. And I'm glad the Supreme Court agreed with this premise, and that from now on, it makes it very clear that that there is no hiding places for people that are trying to escape from law enforcement, and that we can do the right thing to make sure we keep people safe as well in these suicide reports as well. So I think it was a great job by the High Court, and I'm glad it went the way it did.
Yeah, I am too. I love, you can never, it's like training. You can never have enough clarification, you know, and training, you know. So I love it, and I'm one for the good guys.
I agree, 100%. Yeah.
Well, if you're ready, you know, and we'll touch on this next one here too. You know, Minneapolis has been in the news just about every day. So at rumble.com, they've got a source called the Liberty Daily. And I'm just going to touch on the headline, Minnesota rioters, they break into an ICE vehicle locker. It's been all over the news. There's been video of it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Bullets? Here's some bullets.
Hey, you got some bullets here?
I don't know.
Tourniquet there.
Did he get
stealing everything, including a rifle? They're going through paperwork. Some of it they say was sensitive. And I was watching the news just before the show, and it's just a reminder. We've been talking about it on the show, but and Frank and I were talking about it before the show started. You know, most of these issues could be solved if simply Minneapolis stepped to the plate and did what they're being paid to do, and they protected their citizens. Instead, they've got, you know, their panties in a wad. You know, they don't like the fact that the feds are in there grabbing people that are stealing and milking, and you know, that are milking the system. I mean, look, there's the amount of fraud and stuff going on. It's just ridiculous. They're in no standing or in any kind of a good place right now to even fight this. But You know, but the fact that they're not doing law enforcement work and the feds are having to wear a law enforcement hat role, you know, in their role as law enforcement, they're having to go grab bad guys that are throwing bottles and bricks and tear gas canisters and fireworks at them and stuff. That's a law enforcement thing. And I've said for a long time now that that's never going to happen here in Tampa where I'm at, because guess what? Law enforcement, we're going to step in. We don't want the feds dealing with that. That's our job. You know, we're going to go in there. We're going to man up and do it. And even though we've got a Democratic mayor, she's not going to let that happen either. Even if she disagrees with some policies, you know, we're going to do what needs to be freaking done. It is an embarrassment to watch, like Tim Walz, you know, the governor, Jacob Frey, the mayor, or even O'Hara, you know, that police chief that needs to walk off the stage and leave. But you know, he's a bad actor. He's just as bad as the mayor and the governor. And he needs to get tossed. They are, you know, I'm hoping and praying, and I do believe that all these Minneapolis cops, they want it. Their hands are tied. They want to get out there. They want to kick ass and take names, and they want to help the feds, and they want to protect the lives of our blue brothers, you know, and sisters, and they're being held back from doing that.
Well, I guess, Chip, the first thing I'd have to say is it was first reported it was an ICE vehicle that was broken into. It turned out to be an FBI vehicle. A long gun was taken. But I want to ask one question. Why are they leaving their weapons locked in their vehicles, knowing that all these protesters are surrounding them? I think they need to do a better job. Take the weapon out of the vehicle. Don't leave it behind. I think that's a problem right there. But I did watch the video of this incident. And you had such a large group of people around there, smashing the windows, pulling it open, breaking off the lock, pulling out the weapon. It was terrible. So all I can say is secure your weapons.
And this commercial break, hey, I'm sorry, you just snuck up on me, but stick with us. We'll be right back, guys.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, you know, my favorite product that they have, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And now I think it's over 250,000 times. But you heard me correctly, no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies. And the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And you've got to make sure that you watch the cool videos. The videos are absolutely amazing. All right, now I'm going to talk about, you know what? Those videos at ComplianTechnologies.com, I just can't get enough of it. So check it out, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Frank Loveridge. And off camera, we were just talking about the glove going to the SHOT Show and me getting gloved and the temptation for Frank to take the corporate jet out there and to get the same thing done. Well, we can talk about that later, but it's all good. I know that we have been talking about what's going on in Minneapolis and just local law enforcement dropping the ball, and maybe at the direction of the governor and the mayor and the police chief, but still dropping the ball and creating all these issues. And I know before we went to break, you were talking about, and thanks for the clarification that it was not actually an ICE vehicle. They found out it was an FBI vehicle, but why were they leaving the long gun in the vehicle, you know, with everything going on in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Chip, one thing we learned in the Secret Service, a lot of times when we would go into neighborhoods to do advances, whatever, always have that weapon on your hip, never leave it in the vehicle. And if you have a long gun, secure that long gun, because you never, you never want to live with the fact that someone got your weapon and used it to murder somebody or to commit a robbery, or someone gets really, really hurt from it. That's your weapon. You're responsible for it. So don't leave it in a vehicle, especially when there's large crowds like that. And it's very hard to monitor everything that's going on in those areas during these protests. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. But I think I want to say one more thing about the leadership. You just talked about it. This is just appalling to me. You, first of all, you had within an hour of the incident, you had the mayor coming out and, you know, basically convicting the, ICE agent, of murder. And this is just, I can't even fathom that. This started the crowds to start to formulate, and that's the rhetoric that's going on out there. But you have to ask yourself a question, Chip. You have to ask yourself this question. Why are the Democrats, and it is the Democrats, we don't see Republican mayors or Republican governors talking this way. Why are they against ICE? What is it about ICE that's different than other law enforcement entities? And it's because they're arresting illegal aliens. They're taking people that are in this country illegally, that have committed crimes, the worst of the worst, and they're removing them. So why would they object to that? I have to say that it really gets my investigative juices flowing to think that, you know, it could have something to do with the elections. It could be that that's their constituents. No. That's who they're voting for, which means that brings you to the next question is how are they voting? How are they getting their votes? And we know how lenient some of these blues. You could have eight people. You can go to the registrar and vouch for up to eight people in the state of Minnesota to come in and vote. So this is what's driving everything. And this is why they're taking the stances they are, because it's politically motivating. They left the border open for 4 years for a reason, Chip. They did it to let these people into this country, to secure their voter base, to create more votes, to put them in areas that would give them, like the Somalians. You have 80,000 Somalians around Minnesota, in Minnesota. That's a voter block that they have now to help turn these areas blue. We have to realize that that's what's driving this train, is the political motivations. Because how can you be against someone who's coming in there to arrest and remove a member from Nicaragua who literally is murdering and raping your people in your community? How can you be against that? So
agreed.
Throw it back to you, Chip.
No, agreed. And you know what? There's a couple ways. You know, you can have you can vouch for people and get them on the rolls to vote, or you can tackle it by the electoral vote, you know, which is based off of population, right?
Yes.
And those electoral votes. Yeah, it is scary, the abuses of the system. And some people are very good about exploiting those. So yeah, good
That's
point.
That's driving it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I noticed that on, you know, I'm on LinkedIn a lot, and it's a group of professionals, but I started a string right after the Minneapolis shooting, the one before the day before Portland shooting. And, everybody was saying, you know, that it was a bad shoot, except for the Trump administration. The governor, the mayor, and even the chief came out and they were condemning the shoot, but everybody had an issue with the White House defending, you know, the ICE agents. And of course the guy, you know, definitively got hit, struck, and got, you know, pretty decently injured, you know, from the vehicle and being drugged, you know, backwards. And there's that's not even debatable. But it's just amazing the number of people that weigh in on LinkedIn that have different points of view, and how many of them don't even live in this country. And I'm looking here now. There's a guy, David Reedman, on LinkedIn, that's a professor, and putting stuff out there about here. You know, I had a DOJ prosecutor who's nameless, by the way, says that, you know, here's three incidents, three scenarios. And if you're stopped and, you know, somebody doesn't identify and they give you an order to do this, and then they don't show you their face, or you can ask for their ID, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, people are going to get killed. You know, people, you don't necessarily, you don't know when a law enforcement officer gives you a command, you don't know what he knows. You don't have the benefit of that knowledge. Even me, when I get pulled over and he tells me to get out of my car, put my hand, if he wants me to stand in my head, I'm doing it. Cause I don't know if my vehicle matches the description of an armed robbery vehicle. I match the description of a rapist or child pedophile or, you know, kidnapper or whatever. You know, there's so many things you just don't know. And the cops are not going to get in a dialogue with you because you know, it adds a benefit tactically. You lose a tactical benefit with the bad guy, and we're not required to, and it just doesn't tactically, it just doesn't make sense. I give you a command, you follow the freaking order. If you find out later it was unlawful, you complain, right? It could either be administratively, it could be internal affairs, or if you think it's criminal, maybe it'll go to the state attorney's office or district attorney's office. But the people like this and this professor and stuff that, in my opinion, are just giving people just bad advice, and it's just going to get someone hurt or killed, because you cannot create a scenario that's going to be an answer for everything. Just follow the law and the command, and complain later if there's an issue, because 99.9% of all the times it's going to be a lawful command.
Chip, every one of these instances, the common denominator is they failed to comply with the orders from the police. They failed to comply. They disobeyed the order. You had that. That is exactly what happened in Minnesota. We know with Ms. Good, when she decided not to get out of the vehicle, she decided to drive towards an ICE agent, struck the ICE agent, and then was neutralized by that ICE agent. So there you go. Every single one of these incidences happen when you don't obey the police. When you obey the police, you're right, Chip. You can go to court and you have your day in court, and then you can challenge that police officer. But when you're told to do something, you do it. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I just wish, we got a lot of bad actors. People just want to weigh in and take advantage of a situation, and they're going to get people injured or killed. But hey, we're up for our next commercial break, so stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Frank's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision, they demand perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market already at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can get your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable, LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Frank Loveridge. Thanks so much for being on the show, Frank. We've been talking about a lot of things. We talked about a Supreme Court decision that was localized to the state, but you know, arguably at that level has a tendency to be case law around the country. Plus, they also reference Supreme Court law and case law as well. And now we've been talking about Minneapolis and the stuff going on with there. It does seem that a lot of the bad actors are consistently females. I know off camera we were just talking about that. Look, there's a lot of people that are smarter than me that weigh in on this stuff, but at least I think I'm smart enough to know that when I hear something that makes sense or it clicks, I can pick up on it, right? We're visual guys, right? So you ask me to decorate a room and stuff, I'm going to have white walls and it's going to be very bland. But when you put me in a room that's been decorated by a professional, at least I'm bright enough to know that, wow, that looks freaking great. You know, that's, you know, so even though I don't have the talent to do that, when someone else does, I can appreciate it. These guys that are recruiting these people, they're going for a select group of people that they don't have a solid base. You know, I know off camera we were talking, you know, you're right there around that 40, 50 year old age range. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, look, I'm married. I love my wife. And she didn't go through that hormonal area at the 40s, but right around 40 and stuff, there's some stuff that goes on with females too. I know a lot of my wife's friends, you know, she's in talks about, hey, you got to, you know, hormone levels start going down. I've had guys that have been married to women right at that time frame. You know, one buddy, his wife ended up hooked up with some dude that worked at Home Depot, and he was like 20 years younger. And I mean, there's all kinds of weird things that go on, but they look for people. If they don't have a good solid base and they don't have that foundation and stuff, I think that these people are attracted to these causes and these movements and stuff. And when you really get into these deep conversations with them, a lot of times they can't even really explain to you, I guess scholastically, you know, really what it is that they want to accomplish or what they're protesting for or what they're, you know, why they're doing it, you know?
Yeah, Chip, it's just derangement. You know, it's the Trump derangement syndrome, I believe, because, you know, you got to ask yourself, if you put a microphone in front of someone's face and say, what part of the fact that these ICE agents are arresting people that are raping and murdering people in your community? They're the worst of the worst. They have records. You can just look it up. You don't have to take my word for it. And these are the people that they're grabbing and they're bringing them out of the country. Yeah. Why would you be against that? Can you explain that to me? Because it doesn't make sense to me why you would be against that.
I'm not even a parent, and I don't know how people. I mean, if I was a parent, I would be like off the chart. But even not having kids and stuff, it drives me insane. How in the world do you not defend and not only just. I mean, you need to support and go out of your way to support the people that are getting rid of people like that. And it's just the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's there's something there. I don't know what it is exactly, but there is something there because you see a certain group. Now, I don't know if they're being paid or not. I'm suspicious of it. I do believe that there is some evidence to show that they may be getting paid for these demonstrations, and it may be why they're out there. But I'll tell you, that's what we got to look at. We've got to cut the funding off. These people aren't demonstrating, Chip. These people are out there obstructing the ICE agents from doing their jobs. They're federal law enforcement officers. They're blocking them. They're throwing bricks at them. They're throwing urine at them. They're destroying their property. These people are not demonstrating peacefully. And the governor and the mayor of Minneapolis need to come out and do something to tap this down, because the rhetoric they're putting out there is just going to cause more people to get hurt, and it's on them.
Agreed. You know, you take one or two of these people out, and I don't, and let me clarify that. Now, look, I'm not saying, you know, to kill people, but I will tell you that as a law enforcement officer, when someone's thrown, I've been in riots. I've worked many riots here in the Tampa area, and I've had rocks and bottles thrown at me. That is lethal. Those people, that is a lethal force situation, and it's a justified shoot. Fireworks and stuff, the same thing. I don't have to be in fear of death. I only have to be in fear of great bodily injury or harm. So that is and whatever a reasonable officer would do. Now, the officers that are in these areas, they're not acting reasonable, but they're being restrained, and they're not even out there dealing with it. They're in some room somewhere locked and not even allowed to go out there. But yeah, it's just sad. You take out one or two of these guys that are doing this kind of these bad actors, and it's going to be over. People, it'll really end. I truly believe off of experience. But Well, I'll tell you what, we need to talk about the Secret Service story. So if you're ready to jump into that. That is a that's going to be a good one. So look, it's our third main story. So the postmillennial.com breaking story: Secret Service agent from Biden era hates Trump policies, leaked sensitive information about VP Vance to the O'Keefe Media Group undercover reporter. So let's get into this. And I'm going to go through this quickly. We got a little over 5 minutes before we take our next commercial break. So an O'Keefe Media Group journalist was able to obtain sensitive information about Vice President J.D. Vance after they met up with the official on a Tinder date. Okay, so it was a Tinder date. O'Keefe is famous about, so this is a person that works for O'Keefe. So the U.S. Secret Service agent Thomas Escoto, who also said that he hated President Donald Trump's immigration policies. He revealed sensitive information while he was speaking to the undercover journalist during he was talking about his role for watching over Vance's children, disclosed the vice president's future travel plans, which I have issues with, as well as other information. Now, in the video, and this is a quote, you'll see a redaction through my mouth. And this is James O'Keefe talking. And a redaction through some of the things that he disclosed, including specific security formations, exact shift times, specific descriptions of positions and equipment, identifying specific roads, scary staging areas. You'll see a very unusual video, because you'll actually hear it beeped out as I'm talking and other sensitive information. We have intentionally described this in broad terms only. He doesn't want to contribute to the security, you know, threat to the country. And when he's talking about Trump's immigration policies to the undercover reporter, Escoto said, I hate that SHIT to the reporter, to the journalist, as well as compared to his job of watching Vance's children to babysitting. O'Keefe said that the goal in publishing the report, that he's now releasing. It's really to send a shockwave through the federal government that we're out there listening to everyone and hope that the report would deter bad actors as well as force people to do their jobs in the agency that's meant to protect the president and the White House leadership. James O'Keefe said to the U.S. Secret Service agent, it's important to note that the Secret Service could not confirm the behavior exhibited by Thomas violates the law, but they said that it potentially violates the U.S. Secret Service Code of Conduct. And the report from O'Keefe comes after there's been scrutiny of the Secret Service where they raided an agent's home recently for wire fraud and nonprofit scheme. And also during the Biden administration, we had an assassination attempt on President Trump at Butler. Frank Loveridge, you got 3 minutes.
All right, let me go. So let me tell you first thing, how would you feel if you were the Vice President of the United States, if you were J.D. Vance, you had a member of your detail that's under investigation for tax and wire fraud, okay? You had your house broken into where somebody was able to get to the window of the house. Now, they were apprehended, but they got that close to your house and broke a window and finally alerted, and that person was taken into custody at your residence in Ohio. And then to make matters worse, you've got somebody out there who tells you that he's protecting you, but he doesn't like you. I mean, this is just terrible. I mean, first of all, I ran the Protective Division training section, and I trained the agents going out to do lead advances. And the one thing I always told them was, you don't get any better looking when you go overseas. So if women aren't coming up to you and hitting on you here in the United States, if they start doing it overseas, that's a red flag. And on this case, it's elicitation. And what elicitation is comprised of is the first thing is they have the sex appeal. They have the attractive person that gets you roped in just like this woman did on Tinder. Then you have, if it's a player, maybe alcohol that's involved or something of sort if you're in that environment. But the biggest thing is the ego. And that's where this kid was spouting off, trying to tell everybody about what he did, how important his job was. And then he made some comments that are very disturbing. And that is that he was against ICE. He was against the president and all of these other things. And then he starts talking about the information, which is really sensitive, about protective formations and shift schedules, specific travel plans, real-time locations. And he took photos and showed them to him with metadata on there. We'll tell you where we keep the aircraft. We might keep our, assets that we have on site when the vice president travels, all of these things. So what do I think? I think that number one, we need to hold this person responsible. Whoever hired this individual needs to be looked at as well. Why would you have hired this person with this type of a background? This should have been found out before he made it through. And then another thing, what about a non-disclosure? Let's have these agents sign legal documents that will hold them accountable if they disclose information that's sensitive or classified and hold them accountable. You know what the response in the Secret Service was? We're going to give them some anti-espionage training. All right, you've got to go back now and find out how many of these Tomas Escadas are out there, because this is going to be, I can't even fathom the fact that we have these people on this job. And yes, these weren't the right people that were being hired. I'll let you go to break.
Yeah, that is scary and alarming. All right, well, look, okay, it's time for our third commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, it's law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that website, it is GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Frank Loveridge. And thanks so much for being on the show, Frank. And I know it's critical right now. We're talking about, you know, the Secret Service agent that was working for on J.D. Vance's team, and he gets duped into going out on a date with a journalist working for O'Keefe of all people. And then he runs his mouth. I'm just curious if you were in charge. I mean, look, sometimes there's things that are a training issue and sometimes it's worse than that where they can't be salvaged. What would you be leaning towards if I may ask on whether what should be the ramifications for this for a guy that does something at this level?
Yeah, he's done. There's no way I would let this person do this, be in that position. And I think right before the break, we were talking about this, but you have to realize something. When you become a Secret Service agent, your job is to protect your protectee with your life. And that is to put yourself in harm's way. You saw what happened at Butler. There was a lot of things that went wrong at Butler. If you listen to me on some of the other networks, I'll tell you all the things that went wrong at Butler. But one thing that didn't go wrong was the courage of that shift to put themselves, not knowing if there was another shooter out there or not, to put their bodies in the way so that they could take the bullet instead of it hitting the president of the United States. Now, do you think this guy would have done that based on the way he was talking? Absolutely not. Now, what would I do differently? First of all, the hiring process. I'd get the right people. That's the first thing you got to do. Get the right people and train them. And one of the things you train them on is you'd have to tell them that, look, people are going to be constantly trying to find out what you know. They're going to try. You don't know who these people you're talking to. There are a lot of people that want to kill the president and the vice president of the United States. And you got to make sure you know exactly that everything you say can be used to help them do that. So you have to be very careful. This kid, I hate to say it, but I don't know how he got hired. I have no idea. And we need to actually, espionage training isn't the only answer to this. You have to give them a non-disclosure notice so they know there's legal ramifications when they spout off and give up sensitive information or classified. And so what I would do, I'd show them the door.
Okay. Yeah. I, you know what? I concur. I totally concur. I would not feel comfortable with this guy. There's just too much. He's done enough. He's done enough damage and he could have got somebody killed. So, thank you. This next one, NBCWashington.com. We've maybe spent a couple minutes on this and that'll give us 5 minutes to do the next one with the video, but Maryland bill would bar ICE agents hired under Trump from a state police. It's just targeting people that became ICE officers after Trump took office. It's the craziest thing. I can't believe that I'm reading this and that this guy's bragging about it. But days before Maryland's General Assembly returns for a new session, there's a new proposal to bar immigration and customs enforcement, so ICE officers and agents from law enforcement positions that are within the state of Maryland only if they joined ICE after Trump took office. It's called the name's kind of cool. It's called the Icebreaker Act of 2026, but it's freaking asinine, right? And so here's the Adrian Boffo. I mean, what a name. Everywhere I go in my district, folks are asking, what are we going to do about ICE? And there's only so much the state can do, but you know what I could do? Make sure that those ICE officers never have a job here in the state of Maryland. You want to work for any other industry in Maryland? Sure. So Boffo said that he created the legislation before an ICE officer even shot and killed, Renee Good in Minneapolis on January the 7th. So he already had this in the works. He says, what we're saying in Maryland is that any ICE officer, sworn agent who saw the horrific violence that's been happening over the last year, and he said, hey, you know what? I want to join that work. We don't want you to work at any point in time as police officers, law enforcement officers, in the state of Maryland. He said that the legislation would prevent anyone that chose to join ICE after January 20, 2025, the date Trump's return to the White House, from serving in a law enforcement capacity within the state of Maryland's government. And he goes, the bill would not prohibit ICE officers and agents from working in other areas of the state government, but just not law enforcement. Anyone who joined ICE before the inauguration, so before Trump took office, who actually swore the oath to try and protect the border and actually go after violent offenders, they're not affected. You're welcome to Maryland with open arms. Frank?
Well, I'll tell you, good luck getting that passed and through judicial review. I mean, it's discriminatory, wow. Right, Chip? It's discriminatory.
Oh my gosh.
You can't go out. You can't tell a class of people that they can't apply for a job. When you put that out there, you're being discriminatory. I lived in Maryland. I'm not from Maryland, but I lived in Maryland for almost 20 years. And I understand the politics out there, but this is not going to pass the smell test. There's no way they're going to be able to get away with this. And also, I'd want those ICE agents because, you know what? One thing they're going to be good at is how to deal with large crowds and going under adverse conditions with a lot of pressure and doing their job. So I think this is absolutely asinine. And I think this bill will go nowhere. Even if it does pass, I don't think it'll be able to cut the mustard.
All right. Good to hear. Now, lastly, we got a story with a video component. So lawofficer.com, suspect killed after striking an officer with the vehicle.
Turn off the car. Turn off the car.
No.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Get out of the car.
Now.
299, she almost struck me.
Get out of the car. Shots fired. Officer hit.
Turn off the car. Turn off the car.
No.
299, she's fleeing.
No. Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Get out of the car.
Now.
299, she almost struck me.
Get out of the car.
Now, this is coming on the heels of the Minneapolis shooting and also Portland. So Bismarck, North Dakota. So this happened last year, involves the police officer with that agency. And it shows the dangers of doing police work and also what vehicles can do. So it happens on March 7th, 2025. So almost a year ago, when Bismarck police officer Matthew James and another officer, Nathan Anderson, they're dispatched to a 911 text report. The caller said that a woman in a white Chevy Traverse, that she looked like she was under the influence, it escalated her behavior. The caller also said that they had concerns that the driver might attempt to run him over. So Officer Anderson, he's the first one to talk to the witness. And the witness also explained that he feared the driver would strike him with her vehicle. So Officer James then approaches the driver, later identified as a 53-year-old Melanie Udell. And he speaks with her at the driver's door for more than 6 minutes. Now, police said the conversation appeared calm, but then the officer smells the odor of marijuana and alcohol coming from inside the vehicle. So during the contact, the officer asks her to step out of the vehicle so they can continue the investigation. She refuses, and then she starts the vehicle and she backs it up. Now, the driver's door is open and it just misses the officer. And then she drives forward towards Officer James. Now, it says he was able to move away, avoid being struck. I thought the open door had actually hit him because when she accelerates, it closes. But maybe the momentum, and when she stopped, closed the door, which doesn't make sense because the opposite would happen if it opened up. But whatever, they say he didn't get hit that time. It's going to happen, though. So then she backs up again, and now she accelerates quickly, and she deliberately, this dude's trying to get out of the way, and she deliberately, obviously, turns the wheels towards him. She hits this officer, knocks him in the air. He's airborne. The gun he had in his hand is airborne as well. It comes out of his hand. He lands on a snowbank, you know, up against a fence, and she's like coming in the air, crashing the snow towards him. Another officer, there were like at least three officers there. At least one of them opens up on her. She ends up dying, and he has to go to the hospital. The officer that was injured, he's got injuries to his hand, his head, his leg, and his hand, I believe. It was just a mess. And the shooting was ruled justified. And again, the bad girl, you know, was pronounced dead. Frank.
So Chip, we're seeing this more and more times now where vehicles are being used as weapons. We saw it last, not this New Year's Eve, but the year before that in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Where an individual drove onto the parade route, or the route where everybody was coming out. I say parade route, but they're all out there celebrating the New Year's, and he tries to mow them down. And then you had incidents in California. You had incidents, it's happening quite frequently now. And of course in Minneapolis just recently. So we have to look at it that way. These vehicles are weapons. We don't know the intention of the driver. If the vehicle does not stop, does not obey the commands of the police, and they try to flee, and they're coming at you, you don't have a choice. You have to neutralize the threat. That vehicle will kill you if you're struck by it, especially if it's starting to get momentum and getting some speed up. So bottom line is, I have to say that a police officer has to do the right thing. And has to be able to neutralize that threat if it's a vehicle, a weapon, a knife, whatever.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'll tell you, watching that hit, that's a little reminder. I mean, that, you know, yeah. I think it's hard to watch that without cringing. That officer flying through the air. I mean, that was, and she didn't even have a huge, she didn't have like a long runway to build up speed and stuff. I mean, it was a brutal impact at a short, that happened in a very short distance.
Oh yeah, it did. And I was watching that. I couldn't believe it. And he survived. Yeah. Thank God. But once again, it's, what is it? Jim, what did I say earlier? What we both talked about. It's failure to obey the police officer's commands. If she just stepped out of the vehicle, took the field sobriety, we would have been fine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's all about compliance. And yeah, the first question, any use of force that goes south, the first question I always ask is, was there compliance on the part of the bad guy?
Correct.
And you know, not even nine times out of 10, 99.9% of the time, there was not. You know, it's just the first flag. Hey, Frank Loveridge, retired Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, which is a very cool designation. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it, especially without your wingman today. So it was a great job. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. Guys, I do want to please support our sponsors. I want to mention those: Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.